Well, we just started a sermon series last week called Supernatural Community. And last week we talked about what we mean when we say supernatural. We're not talking about something like this. We're not talking about having some kind of power within yourself where you can perform miraculous signs. We're not talking about how you're going to be able to just blast people away because you are somehow powerful now. That's not what we're talking about. When we talk about what's supernatural is when we first need to understand what's natural. And what's natural in this world is the experience of being limited and the experience of ultimately seeing life limited and experiencing death. And the cause of that is because of sin. The cause of that is because we have turned away from our God. And so in this world, we continue to experience this natural world that's filled with all kinds of limits. Being supernatural then means that because of Jesus Christ, because of our relationship with God, we're able to experience something that's beyond death. We're able to experience life. And in this sermon series, as we go through the book of Acts, we want to talk about how this experience is not just for individuals, but we can be a supernatural community together where we share with each other the life that we're experiencing through our Lord Jesus Christ, and also how we as a community can spread this supernatural experience of life with other people in this world. And so that's what we're going to be talking about through this sermon series. And the title of today's sermon is Evidence of the Supernatural. Evidence of the Supernatural. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Just three verses. And if you have one of these blue Bibles from outside, we're going to be looking at page 909. So if you would turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. And I'll be reading this for us. This is the reading of God's word. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Amen. What would you do today? What would you do in this moment right now if Jesus appeared? Just imagine. Just all of a sudden, if Jesus appeared, and remember, Jesus is not going to appear like some type of spiritual presence, like, oh, and some clouds appear all of a sudden, and then this face appears in the clouds. It's not going to be like that, because Jesus Christ is a human being. He is God, but he's also a human being, and he is alive. He has a physical body. And so if Jesus appears, I don't know how tall he is. I don't know what kind of clothes he would be wearing. But if Jesus were to appear right now, what would be your response? Some of you here are not believers. Would you all of a sudden say, "Okay, I believe you now"? Some of you have been struggling in your faith. And if you saw Jesus, what would you do in this moment? Some of you have been firmly just holding on to Jesus. What would you do in this moment if Jesus appeared? Let me ask this. Some of you have been struggling in your faith. Some of you don't believe at all. But if Jesus were to appear right in front of us right now, would that be evidence enough for you to believe in Jesus Christ? Would that be enough evidence for you to say, "Okay, now I'm going to live completely for the Lord from here on out"? Would that be enough for you? What would your response be? Some of you are struggling with understanding God's love for you. Some of you doubt that God is taking care of you. Some of you doubt that God sees what's really going on in your heart. Some of you guys feel like God is just so distant from you. But if Jesus were to appear right here, right now, and he were to speak to you, would that be enough evidence for you that God loves you? That God knows exactly what's going on in your heart? Now, I don't have the power. I don't have any ability to command Jesus to come here, so don't expect that. That's not going to happen. I can only share with you what God's word says. But I want us to think about that. Would it be enough evidence if Jesus Christ appeared? You know, though a lot of times we're looking for some type of assurance, a lot of times we're looking for some type of miraculous thing to happen, some supernatural thing to happen in our lives to just help us out a little bit with our faith. What Jesus calls us to actually is that he calls us to be the evidence. Rather than calling us to wait on some kind of evidence that God could give to us, God calls us as believers to be the evidence of the supernatural. And so the main idea for today is be the evidence of the supernatural. And we're going to go through 3 points. Number one, desire for the supernatural. Now, this is not saying you should desire, but there is a desire that exists. Desire for the supernatural. Number two, evidence of the supernatural. And number three, being the evidence. Again, the main idea for today is that we want to be the evidence of the supernatural. And the 3 points that we're going to go through are the desire for the supernatural, the evidence of the supernatural, and lastly, being the evidence. Let's talk about this first point, the desire for the supernatural. In our passage today, last week we started off hearing about Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, and he's writing to a man named Theophilus. And he's telling Theophilus about, in his last book, in his first book, he talked about Jesus Christ and all that Jesus did and all that Jesus taught, and how he died and how he rose again, and how he gave the promise of the Holy Spirit. And in this new book that Luke is writing to Theophilus, he's going to write about all that has happened after Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, and how he ascended into heaven, and how the church was started. And so, as a part of that introduction, we're still looking at the introduction to this book. And Jesus Christ, he appeared to his disciples, and he showed them many proofs that he was alive, that he actually rose again from the dead, that it was his physical body and not just some spiritual state. Jesus Christ actually rose again from the dead, and he was proving to people that he was actually alive, and he was showing his body to people. And then in this passage it says, so when they had come together, so Jesus and the disciples, they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, in order for us to understand what the disciples were asking, we have to understand a bit about what these Jews, what these Israelites, the Jews of that time, what they understood the kingdom of Israel to be. Now, yes, in their mind, they understood the kingdom to be an actual kingdom on earth. They understood the kingdom to be the kingdom for Israel. They understood the kingdom to be one that's led by a Messiah. The word Messiah is Hebrew. The word in Greek is Christ. So when we say Jesus Christ, we're saying Jesus the Messiah. And they understood that all the power in this world would be given to the kingdom of Israel, and all the other nations would bow down before Israel. But not only that, it's not just a physical kingdom and that's it. But this is also how it's described. It says in Isaiah, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. And so as the Israelites, they heard these prophecies in the Old Testament, the Jews in the New Testament, they remember these prophecies, and they're thinking about how when the Messiah comes, when the Christ returns, he will bring the kingdom back to Israel, and it will be this type of kingdom, it will be this type of world. And they're looking to Jesus, and they're saying, is it now, Jesus, that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to bring about this world of life without weeping or mourning? Are you going to bring this kingdom to us? They had this desire for the supernatural. Remember, when we talk about supernatural and natural, we're talking about how the natural world experiences a life of death and weeping and mourning and pain and sorrow and separation. This is the life that we experience. Even though there may be moments here and there of life, there may be moments here and there where you feel the joy. There may be moments here and there where you feel like things are working out. But there's also a limit. There's always a limit. And so the Israelite, or rather the disciples at this time, they're asking, Lord, will it be at this time that you bring life into this world through the people of Israel? Is it now? Because in their hearts, they had that desire for the supernatural. You know, for us that are living in this time now, we have the New Testament to look to. And Jesus Christ appeared to John, and John wrote this book called Revelation. And what we find in the book of Revelation is something that's very similar to what we just saw in Isaiah. This is what it says. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's talking about when Jesus Christ returns, what God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will do. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And it goes on to say, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Do you desire the supernatural like the people, the disciples did at that time? When they asked that question, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? They were looking forward to a time when they would begin to experience life. And it would be something that's long-lasting. And they were hoping that the Messiah, the Christ, would come and restore Israel to that type of state. What about you? In some ways, I believe that every single one of us have a desire for that type of supernatural experience. We want an experience where we can experience life. And it shows up in our prayers. It shows up in our prayers. I'm not just talking about Christians too, though. I'm talking about non-believers. All around the world, people are wanting to experience something that's supernatural, something that gives them life, an experience of life. For example, people want to feel like finally they've met someone that they can finally experience a life of joy and gladness and happiness because this partner is just going to be a wonderful person in their life. Finally, I found my wife, or finally I found my husband, and they're just going to make me happy. That is until week one, week two, year one, year two, and you begin to experience what marriage is really like. There's a limit to that, right? But there's this desire that maybe my spouse will be the answer. Or maybe the medicine is the answer. And it's good that we pray that the Lord heals people. It's good for us to do that. But why would God heal someone? Think about that a little bit. Why do we ask for God to heal us? Because the result in the end is going to be that it's not that we're going to live forever. It's not because of these medicines that we're going to live forever. We're just delaying death. So what is God doing when he actually does heal people? Whether it be through some miraculous healing or whether it be through the medicine that we take. Praise God for the ways that God has allowed us to be actual thinkers and people that are reasonable so that we can actually come up with different types of helps to help with sicknesses and diseases. But medicine is not the ultimate answer. And I want us to think about what's behind our desire when we're taking these medicines, when we're praying these prayers. What's behind all that? Isn't it that desire to experience life? Isn't it that desire to experience something that doesn't have a limit, where we can experience continual joy and happiness? When we pray for our children, isn't the prayer for our children that they would have a life where they would experience life? And some of our prayers are that they wouldn't experience a lot of troubles, that they would have good friends in school, that they would do well in school, and they would find a good job, that they'd get into a good school. We pray these kinds of prayers because we're hoping that through these experiences that somehow we would experience a little bit more of life. And we forget that we are still living in this natural world where there will be a limit. That joy, that peace, the experience of union or friendship or relationship, these things will not last in this world. There is a limit. But the fact is that all of us have this desire for the supernatural. And so we're looking for life, but we are honestly looking for miracles to happen. We're looking for something incredible to happen, just to give us a little bit more of a hope, maybe for the next day or for the next step in our lives. Some of you that are familiar with the Bible, you might be asking, you know, it seemed like back then during Jesus' time and during the time of the disciples and even in this book of Acts, a lot of miracles happened back then, like real miracles. People were actually healed during that time. Why not today? Some of you guys might say that miracles are happening today. And I would say that yes, in fact, miracles can happen today. But some of you might come from a tradition where you see miracles all the time. Maybe. I don't know every single one of your past experiences. But I think for the most of us, for the majority of us, we would probably say that miracles don't happen as often as people say they do. Well, let's talk about the evidence of the supernatural. Are supernatural things happening in our day? Or is there some evidence that the supernatural exists? Is there some evidence of that? So again, let's talk about that. Going back to our verse, the disciples, they had this desire for something supernatural. They desired for the kingdom to come back, and they were asking Jesus, when is the kingdom going to be restored to Israel? Well, in the very next verse, Jesus responds to them. He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." So what Jesus is saying is that, look, You're desiring these miracles. You're desiring this supernatural life. You're desiring for the kingdom of God to come now. But I'm telling you, you shouldn't be focused on that. Don't be focused on this miraculous thing that's happening. You're going to stay in this world of limits. You're going to stay in this world where you're going to experience not a continual experience of joy and happiness, but you're going to experience a world where there is pain, where there is sorrow, where there is death, and you're going to stay here. Why? So that you can be the evidence, so that you can be the witness, so that you can be the evidence that the supernatural exists, that something that doesn't have limits exists, that one day the world will be turned upside down, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be a world one day in the future when Jesus Christ returns where there will be no limits. You are to remain in this world and be the evidence of the supernatural. Now, how do we do that? What does that look like? Well, let's talk about what evidence we're talking about here. What kind of evidence? And sometimes we need a little bit of encouragement ourselves, right? And so that's why we ask for healing. Sometimes that's why we ask God for clarity about the next steps. We're wanting something supernatural to happen to make us feel a little bit better, make us to maybe help our faith a little bit along the way. So let's talk about miracles. Let's talk about evidence of the supernatural. Let's talk about that a little bit. So miracles. Miracles, I will say, miracles can happen today. Some of us have heard such stories of miraculous healings. I've heard stories of people coming back from the dead. We've also, maybe some of us have heard stories about some supernatural experience, like a dream where Jesus appeared to them. But as I'm saying this, I want to be very, very clear. These types of experiences are very, very rare. This is not something that happens on a regular basis for Christians. And we see it happening in the New Testament. We see it happening during Jesus' time. And we see it happening during the time of the disciples. Why? We see them happening because there's a purpose for them. The gospel was going out. The good news about Jesus Christ's death for the forgiveness of sins and his resurrection was first starting out during that time. And there had to be some more evidence for the people that have never heard or never thought or never understood what Jesus was supposed to do. There had to be some evidence that yes, there is a resurrection from the dead. Yes, there is a life without limits one day in the future when Jesus Christ comes. And we're going to show it to you by these miraculous healings. We're going to show it to you by these miracles that are happening. And it happened in so many ways back then. But today there are so many Christians that are in this world, and Christians are people that have some kind of experience in their life. And maybe it's just one experience, but you know that God is alive. You know that Jesus is alive. You know that through that experience, maybe it was because you were reading God's word. Maybe it's because someone showed you love. But whatever that experience was, you have that experience. And that experience is something that you're supposed to hold on to. And you study God's word and you say, yes, this confirms what I experienced. And as you do that, what it's supposed to be is you're supposed to be a person that says, I am a witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is someone that brings life into this world. I have experienced that life. We're supposed to be witnesses of that without the need for these miraculous healings and things to happen. We are that witnesses. We are that evidence. And so God can do miracles today, and in certain situations, he does do it. But for many of us, there's no need for another miracle. For many of us, there's no need. You know, there's some prophets in the Old Testament. There's some people in the New Testament where God appeared to them just once. God said to King Solomon, I appear to you twice. We don't need multiple miracles in our lives. We're supposed to remember what God has done in our lives and share that with other people. We're supposed to remember how God has worked us, and because of how that one miracle happened, or that one experience of just reading God's word, this one realization, or even the experience of being born into a Christian home and you've grown up in the church, even that is evidence of God's miraculous work in your life. And we're supposed to remember that God is doing this work in our lives, that God is the faithful God that's in our lives, continually providing for our needs. As the scripture tells us, we're supposed to go out and share with people, be a witness that that's what God has done. That's what Jesus Christ has done. It's not for you to keep seeking miracles. It's not for you to understand when the kingdom is going to return. It's not for you to try to experience heaven, a life without limits, a life where you experience all kinds of healings, a life where there's joy and everything. It's not for you to experience all that today. We're not supposed to be experiencing heaven in its fullness today. But we get glimpses of heaven in our lives. And we want to share that. God calls us to be witnesses of that to this place of darkness, to this world of darkness that still experiences this natural world of limits. Now, some of you guys may be wondering, have I experienced some type of evidence in my life? Have I experienced how God has worked in my life, or Jesus Christ's giving of life, his resurrection? Have I experienced that in my life? Well, this is just for starters. Each of us that are Christians here, we have our own stories. And I really encourage you to share that with one another and to share that with other people. But maybe some of you are sitting here wondering, how has God worked in my life? Where is there evidence? Well, the first evidence of something supernatural is the fact that Jesus is not in his grave. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that we could remember. But for some of us, we still have doubts. We say, well, you know, blah, 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 and whatever your arguments may be. And so let's think about it from a more subjective point of view. All right, so I'm going to number two here. Think about how you have experienced love and acceptance among God's people. If you are a Christian and you're doubting how God has worked in your life, think about how other people have been a source of God's love to you. If you are not a believer, think about how God's people has been a source of his love and his acceptance to you. Think about that. And then the next step after that is to consider the source of love. Why are these people, why were they so loving to me? Why were they so accepting of me? I was a brat back then. I was a confused person back then. Or even now, I'm a person that maybe shouldn't be here. I'm a person that is lost. Whatever you were at that time, consider, why did those people show such love and acceptance to me? And consider the source. Perhaps they're showing that kind of love and acceptance because it's Jesus' love that's flowing through them. And Jesus showed love to us that are Christians. And I would say, those of you that are feeling that sense of, should I become a Christian? Maybe I want to become a Christian, but I'm not sure. I still have a lot of doubts. Even to you, I could say, Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ died to forgive your sins. Jesus Christ died on the cross to demonstrate his love for you. And that's the source of our love. And number three, you can also use logic and consider other evidence of the fact that, of the very first fact, actually, that Jesus Christ actually did rise from the dead and that there is a hope of glory. There is a hope that one day Jesus Christ will return and make all things new. What are some of those other evidences as you use your logic? I'm just going to go through this quickly, but if you want to do more research, you could just type in, you know, what are the evidences for Jesus Christ's resurrection? If Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead, if he is the only person in all of history that really rose again from the dead, then whatever he says must mean something. We need to really, really consider that this idea that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. What are some of the evidences of his resurrection? What are some of the evidences of this supernatural occurrence that changed the course of history? Well, what are some of the evidences? Number one, there is the empty tomb. Number two, he appeared to over 500 witnesses. Number three, he appeared to a lot of these people for around 40 days. For that period of time, he kept appearing to people. And so when you're in a court of law, and you're talking about evidence for a case, one of the evidences that's a valid evidence is whether or not there is a witness of it. And the more witnesses that you have, the more that the case becomes a closed case. Now, with Jesus' resurrection, we have written in these historical books, these books that were written, these letters that were written from many, many, many years ago, yes, but we are finding a lot of evidence that these are the words that were actually written from that time. And what's written in there are these things, that Jesus Christ actually appeared to over 500 witnesses. They all said, we saw Jesus Christ alive after he died. And it wasn't just one experience, like all of a sudden, poof, 500 people saw Jesus and then poof, he disappeared. It wasn't like that. It was over 40 days. Over a period of time of 40 days, Jesus kept appearing to people, just showing many proofs, as it says in the beginning of the book of Acts. With many proofs, he showed that he actually resurrected from the dead. And what that caused was a radically changed life in so many of these people that started the church. And that's what the book of Acts is all about. How did the church start? What happened with the beginnings of the church? What things, you know, how did they live their lives? Why were people so willing to even give up their lives for this cause? It was because Jesus Christ actually rose again from the dead. You know, I have a friend. My dear, dear friend. One of my best friends. And I shared about him before. We grew up together. We were in the church together. We love God together. We worship God together. We served in the church together. He went off to a Christian school. I didn't. And I really care about my friend. But he struggled in his life. And he's been away from the church. And he says he has a lot of doubts and he doesn't really believe anymore. He doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. But he says there's one thing. Out of all the things he learned in church and even at that Christian school, there's one thing that still makes him just kind of like, maybe I should believe. Maybe there's still something there. And he's being extremely honest with me. We're really close friends. So he tells me how much he's been away from the church and how much, you know, the church life, it doesn't matter in his life. He tells me all that stuff, but he's very honest with me, and he says there's this one thing that he still makes him think, maybe Christianity is true. And you know what that one thing is? He says, I still haven't found a way to prove that Jesus Christ didn't resurrect from the dead. He's being really honest with me. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, and even if you're not a believer here, there's a lot of evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You can consider these things. But also, the people that are sitting around you, those that are really Christians, those that are really holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not saying you should doubt your faith. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, there are people around you that are the evidence around you that Jesus Christ is alive. Now again, some of us may be doubting. You know, if I'm not being a good witness, if I'm not being a good person, if I'm not being that loving person in the church, if I'm not being that evidence, then what's wrong with me? Am I not a believer? Some of you might be struggling with some of these thoughts. How can we actually be the witness? And so now I'm talking to believers. How can we be a witness? Jesus Christ said to the people, it's not for you to seek after heaven. It's not for you to seek after that supernatural experience or the kingdom of God. But right now, I'm going to have you here, and what's going to happen is that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, to the end of the earth. You will be my witnesses. The idea is that we are to be witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. We are to be witnesses of the fact that we are experiencing something that's beyond this natural world. We're experiencing a supernatural experience. And again, what that means, it doesn't mean like I'm a Dragon Ball character or I have the Force in Star Wars or I have some type of power. That's not what it means. What it means is that we are experiencing life with Christ. That we are actually experiencing his joy and his peace and knowing his comfort when he says, come to me all who are weak, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That we're experiencing that. We're saying, yes, Jesus gives me that. There are times that I might doubt, but yes, Jesus does give me that. We're called to be witnesses in this way. But for some of us, again, it's just so difficult. And there are times that we will fail. Yes, it's true. We're not, our bodies haven't been changed to be experiencing what Jesus is experiencing. We don't have that body that's going to live forever. We don't have that yet. Jesus says he's going to give that to us one day. And so what we experience here on this earth is an experience of limit where we will fail. We will fall into sin. We will not be faithful witnesses. We won't be. But it's only because of Jesus' promise to us and what he's accomplished for us that we have a hope that we will be in heaven with him one day. And so this is where I want us to focus on this passage. Not just that we will be his witnesses, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And last week we talked about how you don't have to experience something incredible to know that you have the Holy Spirit. All you have to know is that when you trust in Jesus Christ, you will have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have an incredible experience to know that you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do something incredible to try to receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And so what Jesus is saying to the disciples at this time, in this period of time, because they haven't received the Holy Spirit like we have today, he says to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. What is that power for? That power is so that you will have the strength and the ability, all that you need to be a witness on this earth. And so even if we fail, God is still working through us to be a witness for Him. So we don't have to worry about whether we're doing a good job or not. We just keep trusting in Jesus and saying, Jesus, You're doing it through me. You're doing the work through me. And I thank You for that. Let me try to sum up a little bit about what it means to be a witness. Number one, a witness has had an experience. And again, whether it is by growing up in the church, whether it was some type of miraculous experience, or whether it was just through one day you're in the church, you're reading God's word, and you're like, I get it. Whatever that experience is, it doesn't have to be an incredible, miraculous experience. It could just be growing up in the church and you said, yes, all along I've believed. But whatever your experience is, you've had an experience because Jesus Christ is alive and He's working today. Being a witness is one that has had an experience. But number two, a witness is not responsible to make a decision for others. You know, when Jesus Christ says, go and be my witnesses, He's not saying, go and make sure that they believe what you're talking about. So we don't have to feel the responsibility of whether or not that other person is changing. We don't have to put the burden on ourselves to say that they're not changing because I'm not doing something right. We don't have to put that burden on ourselves. God just calls us. Jesus just calls us to go, and the last point is just to speak. Just to proclaim is another word we use. Just to share with people that Jesus Christ died for my sins and that He rose again from the dead. And I've experienced that supernatural experience of being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all it is. And so, brothers and sisters, we are the evidence of the supernatural. Let's go and share the love that God has given to us. Let's go and share what Jesus Christ has done. Let's do that for one another here to encourage one another. And let's also do that in this world because they need to hear it. They need to hear about this supernatural experience of life with Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You so much for the wonderful work that You've done in our lives, for the wonderful work that You're doing in a lot of our lives. Thank You, dear Lord, for even the fact that there are some of us here that don't believe in You, that haven't called themselves Christian. But Lord, You've brought them here. You're doing a work in their lives to bring them here and to actually hear these words from Your word. I thank You, dear Lord, that You're working in people's lives because You are the God who is alive. Jesus Christ, You really did rise again from the dead, and You are working in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that as You have called us to live on in this world of death and to be Your witnesses, Lord, would You give us all the strength and the power as the Holy Spirit is with us to be able to go and be witnesses for You, Lord. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.